The hottest Knicks tape you'll find online. Knicks all day. We bleed blue and orange. This is Knicks Fan TV, your one-stop shop for the ultimate New York Knicks fan experience.
Throws it down.
News, rumors, debates, post-game live streams featuring live callers.
Let's go Knicks, baby!
And now, your host, CP, the NY Fanatic.
Good morning, man. Good morning. So, let's just start with this, dude.
Yeah.
The excitement, because there's viral videos now of Knicks fans celebrating this winning streak. And I got to say that just as a real longtime NBA fan who sneaky did love the Knicks a little bit in the 90s, that the league is just way better if the Knicks are relevant. And them being this is what to you guys?
It's pandemonium. You know, as you said, when the Knicks are good, the league is good. You even had LeBron James tweet that out yesterday. You know, it's absolute pandemonium to see what this team is doing, defying expectations. Las Vegas had them penciled in at 22 wins. They're now six games over 500, fifth seed in the East, eight-game winning streak. There's so much compliments to go around. You know, Tom Thibodeau's impact on this team defensively. Julius Randle playing at an all-star level. But you're now getting significant contributions from the supporting cast on the offensive side. And that includes Derrick Rose, Reggie Bullock, and your fellow countryman, R.J. Barrett.
Yeah, we're going to get to R.J., but I got to start with, I think, one of the biggest topics moving forward here, which is Randle, who's getting just now down-ballot MVP buzz. And when I watch, so I've always been a Randle guy. I used to make, every time I've talked to my Laker fan friends, I used to always make fun of them because, so I usually call him alligator arms because he's got those short arms. He's a big guy. But he's good, right? Like, he always had a game.
Yeah.
And he was a high pedigree guy, and there was a lot to like about him. But the shooting now is something where I didn't expect Julius Randle to be this level of a shooter. He makes plays for other guys.
Yeah.
He just looks phenomenal. He really does seem to be a guy that's unlocked just one more step of his game. And I had to wonder the other night when I was watching them, are the Knicks good, or is it just that Julius Randle is actually playing so well that he's elevating what is otherwise a not such a great team?
Yeah, I think it's both. I think they're good, especially from a defensive standpoint. These guys are locked in. You very rarely see them, you know, miss assignments on the defensive end. And again, that's a Tom Thibodeau impact. These guys are playing hard every night, and he's holding them accountable. In order for you to play, you have to make sure that you're playing hard and playing defense. Those are the two keys for Tibbs. On the Julius side, you know, there were two things we were looking for when they acquired him 2 years ago that were really going to determine his impact on his team, and you hit it on the head. His shooting ability, especially from deep, and his playmaking ability. Last year, those two areas were completely abysmal. You know, you had fans ready to run him out of town because he was that bad and he was making terrible, terrible decisions and leading to a lot of turnovers. So he melted under the pressure of being the guy in New York in his first year. In his second year, it's been the complete opposite. He's been an incredible playmaker for his team, upping his assist-to-usage ratio. He's now shooting over 40% from three. I mean, he's absolutely lights out. Just finished a 40-point performance against the Hawks. Only three players in the NBA have averaged over 20, 10, 5 assists and shooting over 40% from three, and that's Larry Bird, Nikola Jokic, and Julius Randle has joined that company. So he's making a lot better decisions, you know, passing a lot better out of the double team and just being a lot more, you know, mentally savvy in terms of just leading his team to wins. You know, he's making winning plays, and that's been the biggest difference in Julius Randle in a Knicks uniform from year one to two.
Talking to Casey Powell, also known as CP the Franchise. He of Knicks Fan TV on YouTube. You can check it out at KnicksFanTV.com. I was not one of those that underestimated the Knicks. I got laughed at preseason when I picked their over.
You did.
I picked the over.
Good man.
Easy to forget, isn't it?
I laughed at you.
Yeah, and you know why I said they were going over? Because of Tibbs. Because he has a shelf life, but this is what happens. He grinds your top player's knees into dust. So, yeah, that's why he has a shelf life. That's why it's not going to last 5 to 10 years.
Right. We did have, like, a long, is R.J. Barrett going to survive his his walk to Raptors free agency?
Right, exactly. Yeah. But it's incredible. They were 23rd in the NBA in defensive rating a season ago. They're fourth this year.
Yeah.
And, man, how much of that is attributed to the head coach? I would say a ton.
Yeah.
And he's in the conversation for Coach of the Year, but he is way behind Quinn Snyder and Monty Williams. And I get it. Phoenix and Utah are having great seasons. I think Chris Paul is a big part of what's happening in Phoenix, to be sure. But, man, when you're talking about one coach and its impact on a franchise, I think Tibbs is above everybody.
It can't be understated. I mean, this is precisely, yes, they've made a couple of additions. Derrick Rose has been impactful. Alec Burks has been impactful. The draft pick of Emmanuel Quickley has been impactful. But this is, by and large, the same team that David Fizdale and Mike Miller had last year. And as you said, this team was 23rd in defensive rating last year. This year, they've hovered around the top three, now fourth. And that is exactly attributed to Tom Thibodeau, and they're getting even better. Like I said, this is a team that rarely misses assignments. They are locked in. RJ's playing a plus defense. Julius Randle is playing a tough defense. You know, you have Reggie Bullock in the starting lineup. Tibbs likens him to kind of that jack of all trades. He puts him on the best offensive player. And to a man, they're just locked in and playing together on the defensive end. I agree with you. You know, Monty Williams certainly deserves his accolades. Quinn Snyder as well, having the Jazz in the number one seed in the West. But Tom Thibodeau should get some Coach of the Year votes, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I look at that one and say, who's doing the most with the least? And to me, that's Tibbs.
Yeah.
And I don't think that, I guess, like, the Jazz and the Suns are exceeding expectations, but you're right, Ben. I would say that the Suns are more of an executive year of the year award, where you went out and traded for Chris Paul and you signed Jay Crowder, and those two moves work for you. And then with Utah, it's just kind of a season where a lot of teams have been hurt, and they have depth and they have continuity. And that seems to really matter, especially in these pandemic seasons where you just had to kind of rush into a new year. So, yeah, for me, Tibbs would be Coach of the Year. Like, if I had a vote, that would be who the guy is, because I think he's doing the most with the least, and he has the highest impact.
You know what the odds are? The voting odds are ridiculous.
Like, no, he's not a favorite, right?
He's 11-1. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say other, plus 800.
Yeah, the other guys are minus favorites, and Tibbs is 11-1. He's plus 1,100. That makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, that is a little bit wild. Okay, so let's get to RJ, because, boy, Canada has as much riding on RJ Barrett as the Knicks do, okay? Like, we had the Andrew Wiggins experience where somebody got really hyped up and we said, this is the guy, and we need this guy to be the guy, and poor Jamal Murray, no matter what he does, we're always like, yeah, but you're not the guy we want, you know, for whatever reason. So RJ Barrett comes in the league, and we say it's great that he went to New York because he's got the type of mentality to play in a city like that. He's been the chosen one for the Canadian national program since the very beginning. He's emotional at the draft. He's the kind of guy who's a basketball junkie who's going to understand the importance of going and playing in New York and absorb all those things. But year one was bad. The efficiency was horrific. This year, the numbers are up across the board when it comes to, like, field goal percentage, true shooting percentage, everything, right? 3-point, even free throws. Like, yeah. Little things for RJ Barrett. The shooting and the efficiency have gone through the roof. Do you, like, how does the market just look at him right now? Because I'm happy that he's taken a step forward, but I've also walked back my RJ Barrett's going to be maybe even a perennial all-star someday.
I think he can be an all-star, man. I think he's getting there. You look at the differences between last year and this year, it's been stark. And the all-rookie team snub really bothered him. Bothered a lot of Knicks fans as well, because you had Terrence Davis from the Toronto Raptors on that team, and Terrence Davis is now a former Raptor.
Sacramento Kings,
Sacramento Kings. Right. They traded him to Sacramento for the equivalent of, you know, an IOU and a bag of baseball. So that's how valuable Terrence Davis was worth. But nevertheless, you know, RJ's really taken that chip on his shoulder to improve. And, you know, he started the preseason and the first game of the season very hot, you know, shooting. And then after that, he missed 20 straight three-pointers, including an 0-for-8 performance against his hometown team, the Raptors, down in Tampa. Since then, since January 1st, he's averaging 40% from three. He's been one of the hottest three-point shooters in the league, 17 points a game. He's being the true Robin to Julius Randle's Batman, and he's only 20 years old. And that's why I think that there's more room to grow for RJ Barrett. But what I love about him the most is what you touched on in the beginning segue, is that his mental makeup is made for New York. He wants to improve. Tom Thibodeau said he's got the shooting machine right outside the coach's office. He's buying into what the coach wants and needs from him on a nightly basis. And like I said, there's plenty of room to grow for RJ Barrett, and we're seeing it again here in year two.
See, I'm half Latvian, so I had this connection. Like, I have a Knicks player jersey, right? Like, it's actually kind of behind me, the Zinger player jersey.
Yeah.
And it was like, one of the fun things about having Kristaps with the Knicks was that Knicks fans are so diehard for their guys. Like, when there's a guy they like, they just go all in and they push. Yeah. Like, we had serious Kristaps Porzingis versus Joel Embiid and Giannis Antetokounmpo conversations.
And Jokic. And Jokic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we were having those conversations, and Knicks fans are like, yeah, because we believe. And this is what I needed for my R.J. Barrett confidence boost today, is that, you know, the season's been good. I've been happy with him. But overall, I've been just a little bit worried when it comes to superstar or star potential or carry team Canada potential. Yeah. And then you come on and you speak about him this way. I'm like, I'm so happy that R.J.'s a Knick. Like, I'm just so happy that he's with a fan base where if he plays well and he does, like, high basketball IQ things and he works hard, that – there's a fan base that's actually going to give a crap about that, that he didn't end up like Zion in New Orleans where they're like, dunk it, or that's it. You know, that's all we can get.
No. This is a city. It's heavy as the head that wears the crown, as many guys have seen. But, you know, when you play well, when you play hard, this city, unlike any other, rallies around our players. And like I said, RJ, he has some mental makeup to withstand the criticism. You know, after that putrid performance against the Raptors, he went 4-for-19 on New Year's Eve. We had guys calling in our show that was ready to send him to the G League, wanted to trade him. He's not going to be the guy in this town. I mean, it was the most somber New Year's Eve show. It was the worst show we did all year, honestly. It was like a funeral. But, you know, since then, he's been a hero. And like I said, having that mental makeup to withstand that adversity is what's going to make him a really good player.
So, last one. Saving the best for last.
Yeah.
So, if the Knicks get out of the first round, because I think that would be the goal at this point, right? It's year one of this. You get out of the first round, you're competitive in the playoffs, and then this offseason, they land the fish. Like, finally someone looks at the Knicks and says, yeah, I want to play there. I want to play with R.J. Barrett. I want to play with Julius Randle.
Yeah.
And we're going to make this work. How does the James Dolan conversation change? Because the last time we were in our studio, we were playing the audios of Sell the Team, you know, like the chants in the garden.
Winning changes everything, man. Winning changes everything. And you know, when you've been losing for the better part of 20 years, it's very easy to look at, you know, Dolan's throwing guys out, and he's throwing Oakley out, he's throwing fans out. He panicked on the Carmelo trade. But I think I give credit to James Dolan. I'm not a James Dolan shill. I give him credit for putting the people in place that he believes can help. And when things go bad, he pulls the plug early. He pulled the plug on Phil Jackson when things went south. Pulled the plug on Steve Mills when he saw that he botched the Kristaps Porzingis trade and wasn't doing a good job. Now he's bringing in Leon Rose. It's time to let Leon Rose, Worldwide West and the gang, develop this team. Put this team together on paper, and you know they're going to go out for the big star. You know they're going to go big game hunting, and if they do, the narrative has to change. The narrative has to change, and like I said, winning cures all. Right now, this team is 6 games over .500, and you're not hearing a peep about James Dolan. So, I said, as long as this team is winning, the Dolan stuff is going to be put under the table.
Yeah, maybe you'll even listen to some JD in the straight shot.
Yeah.
You know what sucks, though, is if the Knicks win and he's like, guess who's performing at the parade? This is big time to shine. CDs available and merch at the back. Thank you, Nick says. JD in the straight shot. That's a good one. Hey, man, I think the Raptors this is actually going to be kind of a sneaky important game for them because they're winning games again, and they need to get in the playoffs, and I think it's going to be a good push. It's going to be a good game, but again, I really do think that I speak for all NBA fans when I say it's good to have the Knicks back in the fold. Thanks for doing this today, dude.
I have a feeling you guys really want to root for us. It's okay. It's okay. You guys are friends with Ariel. Ariel's my guy. It's okay to peek over the fence every once in a while, but real quickly, as you said, you know, Raptors are coming in hot. Winners are 4 straight. Half game out of the 10th spot. Play the Knicks tough on that New Year's Eve night. They're coming in full strength. This is a tricky matchup for the Knicks. I'm looking at the two matchups between Anobi and Siakam versus Randle and RJ. On the bench, you know, Gary Trent Jr., Malachi Flynn going toe-to-toe with Derrick Rose and Emmanuel Quickley, that's going to be a tough test for the Knicks as well. So the Knicks also coming in hot shooting from three, but against the Raptors, first matchup, 3-36 and then 9-35. For some reason, they just can't get it going from behind the arc. So as you said, I think the Raptors come in hot, and it's going to be a tricky matchup for the Knicks.
I do, too. I'm looking forward to it, man. Again, CP the Sanchez, thanks for making time for us today, buddy. This is great.
Thanks again, fellas. Looking forward to the next one. Thanks again. Have a great weekend. Thanks.